Welcome back, WNST's House in Baltimore and WNST.net. We are live in Minnesota. I got mixed emotions about this guy, but on the headline I said my favorite Hall of Famer. And you're still going to be my favorite Hall of Famer if Ray gets in on Saturday. I said if, but...
Oh, Rob, he's in. That's guaranteed.
Dude, you are my favorite Ray. You know, you're my favorite Hall of Famer. You are. I don't know what it is about the magic between you and I. That guy walks over and says, you want Rod Woodson on your show? And I'm like, yeah, I want Rob Woodson on my show. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, brother. How you doing, man?
You unemployed again? What's going on here, man? I mean, it's the life of a football coach.
It is. Yeah, but I'm leaving the coaching world.
You're done?
Yeah. That's.
Is this your official announcement? Is this?
No, it's.
This the press conference right here?
Yes, it is. You know what? I've saved it for you. No, I mean, my family knows.
Well, so this is breaking news. Rod Woodson has just announced his coaching retirement. So what are you going back to broadcasting? What are you doing? Monday Night Football for you.
I am going back to
you were doing
TV
Westwood
and radio
at one point.
Yep, I did radio.
Boy, Westwood I got so
one.
Many things to throw at you, man. It's crazy because we had the reunion for the first Super Bowl team, your team, this year. You know, obviously the 5 year is going on this year. And now our organization, three years in a row, not playoffs, 4 out of 5. You step back in. It looked like y'all were going to win Super Bowls, and then Carr gets hurt. It's really fleeting. You know, you try to grab it, you know.
It is.
Winning in this league, and you tried so much. But what you had going on in Oakland, when I saw Jack last year, you're moving to Vegas, you got the quarterback, I thought, this is going to be stable. You know, I mean, I thought we were going to be fighting with you guys to get the Super Bowl. It's NFL, not for long, right?
Well, it is. I think there's a couple moves made, and, you know, I'll keep those to myself that probably shouldn't have been made in-house. But, you know, I think when you have a building that you come to work in every day, I think you have to be very careful of who you let go and who you bring in as players, because they either going to cultivate the environment or they're going to saturate the environment with stuff that you don't want. And I think this past year we saturated our environment that we already had cultivated, I think a good one. I think a winning environment, an atmosphere that guys were friends. And I think we let a lot of those guys go who were good character guys. Not saying that all the guys we brought in were bad characters, but it didn't blend well.
It was different
this
year.
It was different. And you could tell.
Last time I saw you, you guys had just beaten Denver, right? Mexico City was next up. Mm-hmm. The day I spoke to your team, Derek got hurt right after that, and when I left you that day, it was day after the election, day mm-hmm. after this guy
right.
got elected.
Right.
And you guys were—it blows me away that 15 months later, the journey the Raiders have been on, that all of you were a part of in some way.
Right. And it's, you know, like I said, you know, it's unfortunate that it went the way it did. We had some good pieces. For whatever reason, you know, Jack made some coaching moves one way or the other. We made some player moves one way or the other with Reggie, and it just didn't work out.
No doubt about it. Rob Woodson joining us here. You're still a Hall of Famer, though. You're still a champion, though. Yeah, I was going to ask you about this in the middle of this. You were talking about bringing guys in and out. You did so much winning as a player, and you were in everywhere you went. You won or almost won, you know, and were you ever really in a group of bad seeds? Were you ever amongst turds in a locker room? I mean, you signed up in Baltimore, and, you signed up. Marvin
when
really
I,
wanted
when
you.
I first signed
you
up, when I first signed up, we had a couple turds in the locker room in Baltimore, and we cultivated to what they're still having now, I think, for the most part. The defense still plays solid, even though it didn't live up to the expectations of previous years this year. But you know, when you go there, and you need vocal leaders in any place. You know, this is the biggest team sport that there's out there. You know, 53 man roster. You got your 10 practice squad guys. So but you need voices in the locker room that police each other, and that voice has to be from the leaders.
And your leaders have to be your best guys.
And your leaders have to be your best guys. And they have to sometimes get out of their shell, not to, because a lot of guys are, they want to lead by example, which is okay. But when everybody can't lead by example, we need somebody to be the vocal guy. We need somebody that has a resonation with their voice in the locker room and on the practice field on a consistent basis. And when you get that, you get really good teams. When you don't get that, you get fluctuation like a roller coaster. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down.
First time I met this guy was in San Diego at the Super Bowl. I was in a sushi bar, and you were a Steeler, and I was just a goof, and I knew Marvin, and you said hello, and you were, you know, did your thing. And then the next thing I know, you're a Raven, and I'm in a locker room, and I went over to you, and I said, when are you coming to my radio show? And you said, when he comes. And it was Ray Lewis. And Ray said, well, Wood, I'm going out next week. Next thing you know, you were snookered into dealing with me. And there's Ray Lewis, and you signed up for this kid before anyone else. I mean, you were the first guy. You, Goose, McCrary, all of you guys came in to know that Saturday night he's joining you in that brotherhood with that gold jacket. Some thoughts about what you found there, that sort of acorn, because you knew he had it in him. You saw it the minute you came to practice, probably, that he could be a Hall of Famer. He could be a champion. Man, you were there for Atlanta. You were there for the dark, dark times. And to know that this is going to happen for him on Saturday night, man, that's a hell of a journey you've been on with 52.
Yeah, you know, Sugar, as we call him.
Why, because he's sweet?
I call him Sugar, or I call him Seven.
Go ahead, explain.
5'2".
5'2".
Seven.
Seven.
So we called, like, we had different nicknames for each other.
Were you eight?
I was eight.
You were 2 and 6?
I was eight.
I got the code. I cracked the code.
But, you know, when I first got there, he was in, his third year in the league. He was just a tackling machine.
He was such a great player at that point.
He was. But, no, I'm saying, he wasn't a great player yet. He was a tackling machine. He was leading the team in tackles. What I told him is that, hey, there's 32 leaders. There's 32 people leading their teams in tackles. You know, what are you going to do to make yourself stand out? And then the next year, the first year we were 6-10. Next year we were 8-8.
Were you a coach for him then?
No, I wasn't a coach. He was my boy. I've lived longer than he has.
Right.
You know, so I've been through the system. And Donnie Shell and all those guys in Pittsburgh did it for me. So I felt it was my obligation to do it for him. And plus, you know, when you first come into a locker room, you know, they sit you normally when they put your locker in the room, it's normally next to the same positions. Well, my locker wasn't.
Right.
My locker was in the linebacker line. So my locker's right next to Ray Lewis's and Peter Boulware. And the DBs were...
I got a hell of a memory to remember all
you
that.
You do, around the corner. So I knew what they wanted. But it was my pleasure. And once you meet Ray, he's funny. He, you know, he's cheerful. He, you know, he has great generosity. But at that point, he was still growing as a player, growing as a person, learning what he should and shouldn't do. And, you know, over the course of the first 2 years, I would say about the in the last year, or my second year with him, excuse me, his fourth year, is that when he started to really speak to the players without me saying anything. Because in practice, if things were going south in practice, I would look at him and go, like...
Well, when he came in, Pepper was there. You know, team wasn't very good. He was young. That defense wasn't very good at all.
It's a process.
Sure.
Absolutely. It is. Absolutely. It's not
But
a
you
bad.
Gave him some permission to be that guy. You gave
not
him some
permission.
Oxygen. You gave, you know...
But I told him, his voice is going to be the one... He was the best player on the defense. So his voice is going to resonate comparable to mine. They look at me and go, hey, Mr. Woodson.
Right.
They're like... I'm like, I'm not, you can't call me Mr. Woodson, I'm still playing.
Even though it's safety.
Right. You know, you can't call me. So getting to that point, and once he realized that his voice resonated with his guys, when he said things positively to them, when he said things negative to them, because they did something wrong, he realized that he's going to be the key. And then all that stuff happened after the second year in Atlanta, and I still believe today that was a genesis of Ray Lewis becoming the man he is today, and probably arguably one of the best overall leaders maybe in sports history, just for the fact how people connect to him, how the players connect to him. And he's used all his process in life, the bads and the goods.
You're gonna
to
give his speech.
Influence.
Are you gonna give his speech?
No. He gotta have one of his guys.
You're one of
his guys. I will be there for him though. I will be there for him.
Amazing.
That'll be my first time going back. since I started coaching.
Well, it's amazing. I did an NFL Films thing this week that I always do for Top 10. And it kind of pissed me off a little bit because the Top 10, they did Mount Rushmores. And the Ravens weren't amongst the 10 teams that they considered because, you know, they're the Packers, the Cowboys, Steelers, you know, and they have these Mount Rushmores. I said, man, we've only been around 22 years now, and you're not even a part of it. Shannon's not even a part of it. Matt Burke. I mean, maybe not even Flacco when you consider John, Ray, Ed, and now Sizzle. Sizzle's going to go to the Hall of Fame. I mean, I think these last three, 4 years, as Mike Haynes looks at us, just bring all the gold jackets to me, man. I want them all over here. Sizzle's going to go in now, and I'm blown away by what our franchise has been. And even with guys like you, dare I say, on the periphery of these championships, but you know we had this thing. It's what drew you to Baltimore back in the day.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, Marvin called me, said we got a lot of good young talent. And once he said it, I came in, I realized they're young, but they're good. The culture needs to change a little bit. And then changing that culture of having player-only meetings, going through the defense on our own, having guys take responsibility of who they are and what their job is, that was the key. And then once everybody bought on board, man, I'll tell you what, it was awesome.
Last thing for you, because I'm going to have you guys together. I got Mike Haynes sitting here waiting, but Marvin said to me, let's welcome Mike in, but I want to have a fun conversation about football here with you guys. I got two Hall of Famers. No, it will be right now.
Okay.
Now your mic's on. I've got
right.
Luke's mic off.
Okay.
Marvin said to me, and this is where the defense comes into this. Marvin said to me the year we won down in Tampa, I think I asked him on the air, off air, I said, what changed here from the day you got here, because you were his big recruit? He had the draft bowl wear, and then he had to get Rod. Rod was washed up. Rod, San Francisco, Rod. I'm going to bring Rod in. We're going to win a lot of games with Rod playing safety here. And he said, the difference is when I got here 96, 97, guys couldn't make plays, and they went back to the huddle and said, my bad. And by the time you got here, and Ray, somewhere 98, 99, you couldn't look Goose in the eye or Rob Burnett or Sam Adams or any of them and say, my bad. There was no more my. You didn't want to come back to the huddle and have to deal with Ray, let alone the rest of you.
Right. But that started in practice. Like, when I first got there, man, the practices were like, this is practice? You're not even running to the ball.
What?
Like, guys would stop two steps, three steps to the ball, stop. And we're
wow.
like, no, if you want to be great, we have to get to the rock.
Yeah, it's you play one, like you practice.
That's right. It's one rock. There's one team. There's one ball. Everybody's trying to get it. We have to work our way to that. So when we start doing that, that's when guys start realizing, if you want to be good, you have to put it out. You have to. It's like playing football is like the ATM. You practice, you put money in the ATM, you put money in the bank, 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 all season. You just accumulate money. And then when the game starts,
in December, you go
that's
cash
where
you
can,
check.
That's where you can dispense it. That's where in the game, that's where you can start dispensing the money. So, you know, for us in Baltimore, it took them a while to get understanding how they had to work to get to that point. But once they realized it, that's when everything started. We start cashing in on the money.
When's the first time you met this guy here? Because, I mean, you're
well,
in
I saw
real
him forever.
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 Real serious fraternity here, right? You know, when
pretty,
and you enter and you guys are going to welcome Ray and maybe T.O. Ray, whoever's going to be, Bicelli sitting 5 feet away back
I saw
here.
Him. I know he's
so,
here.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of waiting around and hoping and wishing and all that stuff. And I've already got the buses pointed toward Canton. We've already got the trip on sale. And not many people, you know, maybe for Brady they'll do that again, but there hasn't been this sort of a coronation for a player. No one has sat here and made a case against Ray Lewis.
I don't think anybody can.
I don't think you cannot. To me, I look at the list, and there's four to me that should go in this year. Like, guaranteed should go in this year, and then the other one is like, the rest of them are debatable. But I thought Ray, Brian Urlacher, Randy Moss, and Terrell Owens. I thought all four of those guys have played in such a level that when you talk about the history of the game, their name is going to just automatically come up. To me, that's like a first ballot.
Yeah, well, as you know, there's a lot of guys, their names are going to come up. They're not going to be those guys. But I stopped doing it. So they sent me the email saying, hey, pick four or five guys. I stopped doing it. I did it.
But I only did four.
Yeah.
I didn't put a fifth.
Yeah.
I said, I have four that I, in my mind, they just played at a level where I say these guys were, they transcend generations.
Yeah.
They could have played in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. Doesn't matter. They could, yeah. They'll still be ballers.
Yeah.
And it's those four guys that I think that they should just automatically be in it.
T.O. is the one that, you know, like for a lot of folks, to me, is like, why hasn't he been in
I've
already?
I've had voters, three or four voters tell me that they've had teammates of his call them to say, don't put him in.
Well, here's the thing.
Like, literally, when you talk about guys you wanted on your team or didn't want, turds, you came into the middle of that.
But it's not about turds. It's not about, it didn't say the best character person in the world ever. That doesn't say that. It says, who is the best football player? What did he accomplish on the field? First of all, he's never been arrested.
Never.
He's never been arrested.
He should have been arrested for doing those push-ups in a parking lot with the agent on ESPN.
No, he was doing sit-ups on the thing with
whatever
no shirt
it was.
On.
Yeah, in front of his house, I think.
But he's ripped up. So, you know, if you look like that, do you want to show your... I don't know.
You want to be
but
in a
anyway.
Body magazine. Yeah, exactly.
But the toughest part is those same reporters that came in to do the interview with him, all right, and they said, hey, I want to talk to you. He said, man, get away from me. All right? That's the same guy that has to say why he should go into the Hall of Fame. So how happy are you going to be to put a guy like that in that won't even give you the time of day? So that's the thing that guys don't take into consideration. I used to feel exactly the same way, that what a guy does off the field shouldn't matter. But now that I've been in the Hall for a long time, I feel like, no, it should matter. And so even in the locker room, it matters. Like Paul Krause, how many interceptions did he have? 81 interceptions. But he didn't go in right away because the local guy who was there all the time, who has to be the guy that puts him up
didn't
and say,
like him.
Paul Krause should get in. The guy might have liked him.
I don't like Terrell Suggs, but I will sit here right now. I've watched his act from the beginning.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer, and I might be the guy 10 years from now because
exactly.
I might be the last guy left to go in there and present him. And based on what I've seen the last 3 years, I mean, coming back from these injuries and what he did he's punched his ticket, and fair is fair, and I think T.O.'s a Hall of Famer.
There's no question he's a Hall of Famer.
You guys would have to go out there and guard him.
The only reason I say it's not about his integrity as a human being is because there is no true template to say what a Hall of Famer is. Now, we have our five pillars when you get into the Hall.
Right.
But to become a Hall of Famer, there is no template for it. Outside of just playing the best football you can play whenever day that you play. And he did that at the highest level than anybody else. Was he a jerk in the locker room? Yes. Did he divide locker rooms? Yes. But that's irrelevant for how he played, because when he went out there, you had the game plan for that dude. There's certain guys that you look at, you go, I don't have the game plan for him.
Yeah.
But that guy right there, you had to roll your coverage to him. You had to make sure your safeties leaning over to the other half.
Most half the teams
him.
In the league didn't have a guy, right? Didn't have one of you to go out there and run around with him for 50, 60 plays. It only took one most weeks, 7-point league, right?
Yep.
One play. And if you don't have Rob Woodson or Mike Haynes, if I had them, I'd go out and play T.O. and Randy Moss every week.
He will get in.
He's going to get in. He's going to get in.
He will get in.
Doing prostate again? I want to make sure I promote your cause.
I
turned 50 this year, Rod. 50, 5-0.
Well, does your dad, anybody in your family have it?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, then you're cool. All right? Because you can actually wait till you're in middle 50s if it doesn't run in your family. So you're good.
Don't make excuses for me. My wife's standing here because
she's going to run my
ass out to Dr. Sigmund. I promise you that.
She doesn't have to. If it doesn't run in your family, then you're cool until you're like mid.
We're
going to
be blowing the candles out on my cake on October 14th. She's going to be slapping on the gloves. Watch.
But if it ran in your family, it'd be a different deal.
She's had cancer twice, so she's going to make sure that I don't have cancer. You know, so that's where we are.
Yeah.
But give everybody where to go. Learn more. Know your number.
Yeah, you got to know your stats. That's your PSA number. It comes from a simple blood test. The other part of the test is a digital rectal exam. Get no mercy. You're not going to get
You've
one single moment.
You've been bugging me about this for 15 years, Mike. You're on me. I know.
So you're cool. You got
you
another 4 or 5
warning.
Years.
I see you, and I'm like, don't go through it. Be smart. Go get tested.
That's exactly right. You want to be smart. So I wasn't smart. I was ignorant. When it came to me, I didn't know my family history. I didn't know it ran in my family. And the only reason I went, really, one, I got lucky. The doctor who was having this conversation with me was an African-American. And he said, 1 in 5 African-Americans are going to get prostate cancer. I'm going, really? I said, I've never met one guy that had it. He said, really? He said, I said, yeah, I don't know anybody. So they said, if it runs in your family, there's a 1 in 3 chance. So I knew my grandfather died of some kind of cancer, but I didn't know what it was. But those two things, being African-American and not knowing if it ran in my family, caused me to call my doctor. And he looked at my chart, and he said, well, for a guy your age, it's under 4, so you're good. But since you're African-American, let's send you for a biopsy. Well, when I saw that urologist, the specialist, and he said he never should have told you that about being under 4 for your age. You're looking for a spike. You clearly had a spike. Your PSA went from 1 to 3 in a year and a half, you know. So he said that doesn't necessarily mean that you have prostate cancer, but it's definitely a reason to go get a biopsy. And so when my biopsy came back positive, I ended up having it. And so when they asked me to be the spokesperson for it, I said, absolutely, because I think most men are like me. I had prostate cancer for 3 months, and I didn't even know what the prostate was. I was sitting there thinking, what does it do? I didn't even know. I said, why do they keep talking to me about incontinence and other things, you know? And I said, where is it? I didn't even know. So most men are like me. They don't even know where the prostate is. They don't know what the prostate does. But when it comes to breast cancer, because the women have done such a good job, every man knows a symptom of breast cancer. Most men don't know anything about prostate cancer, and more men are going to get prostate cancer than women are going to get breast cancer. Does that make any sense? So we don't talk about it. We don't talk about it at all. Matter of fact, when I was diagnosed, I told my wife, don't say anything to anybody. I didn't even tell my own mother. I said, I don't want people feeling sorry for me. Just let's keep it just to me and you. And then the moment I started talking about it, the better I felt about it. And so I actually try to encourage men, especially in the month of September, Prostate Cancer Awareness Month, to at least tell one guy. Let's not keep it a secret.
Well, I'll have awareness in September because I turned 50 in October. How about that?
Yeah, but it doesn't run your family, so you just do your thing.
I look healthy.
Just look to your wife for advice.
Rob Woods and Michael Haynes
joining
us. Thank you, man. Hey, man, I appreciate you guys. Last plug for me. I got the bus on sale. We're going to go to an Indians game. We're going to Hall of Fame. We're going to Pittsburgh. We're going to PNC Park.
Go to the Berg.
I've had some complaints about that, but we're going to, you know, you got to stop somewhere and go to the bathroom. Why not Pittsburgh and go to the game, you know, on the way home. Make a case for the Hall of Fame. You've been going forever. What year did you go in, Mike?
97.
I was very underwhelmed by the Hall of Fame in that era. I used to do Buster's.
Yes. For good reason.
We would drive
out
there.
Had you been there then?
And I would be.
No. Just to go through all.
Well, I was always a little like.
It was just a museum.
It needed love.
Yeah.
And I think it's got love now. And I want you guys to promote why everybody out here should be jumping on the bus to go out and see Ray get in. Other than Ray is going to do things on that. It's going to be the greatest speech of all time, right? I mean, they should charge more for the speech.
I don't know about this. I want to see them do the squirrel.
He's going to do the squirrel.
I just want to see him do the squirrel when he gets on the stage.
Have you ever done the squirrel privately or publicly?
No.
The squirrel?
No, not trying.
I got a camera right now. It's your chance.
Not trying.
Come on, Ray.
No.
Come on, Ray.
Listen, when Ray used to do that
little
jump in the middle, where my dog's at, I did it one time. Dude, I thought I was going to pass out before the game. I said, Ray, I ain't jumping before the game anymore. I'm too old for this. You young. You can jump. You can celebrate. I'm going to keep my energy for the game. I never did it.
Well, I hope to see you guys in August along with Ray and John. And
we're going
to
see Sugar.
Ed Reed's coming next, and we're going to put Sizzle
there.
In there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
When was the last time you were there?
When John went in. The night John went in.
Okay.
And it was a construction mess, and they got a new stadium now. And
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. And they're doing a lot of work there.
Ohio, it's not bad. Yeah,
For what they're doing, the layout of the landscape of the immediate area,
Disney World.
They're going to get to that point, but it's going to be extremely exciting for fans to come see that.
Yeah.
Always, you guys seek me out. You come over here, means the world to me. Always love having you guys on, man.
My man.
And we'll see you this summer.
You know, Jack giving me the opportunity to talk to those players at the top 10 all time.
How many
human beings, regular people, get to walk into an NFL meeting, have the coach say, here's the microphone, tell them your story? I don't think that doesn't happen often. So that'll never happen again. I mean, Billick is my business partner, wouldn't let me do it. Harbaugh would never let me near those players. None of them would let me. I think Jack's a little crazy, but it turned out okay.
Yeah.
It turned out okay.
It did.
And we hope to save some more lives.
That's the most important
thing. We swapped 51 members of your organization that day. Save lives. 51 of your players. You know what? When the right tackle came in this year, who was with you guys last year.
Oh, I got swabbed.
You got swabbed that
day?
I probably have a picture of you getting swabbed that day.
I got swabbed.
18 to 54. You 54 yet? You 54
52.
Now.
52.
All right.
Well, I was 51 then.
I got to let you guys go.
I was 51
go.
Then.
Mike and Rod, they're just Hall of Famers coming by hanging out. We're at the Mall of America. It's all brought to you by Howard Bank, Royal Farms, and the Maryland Jockey Club. More from Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis right after this.